vision of excellence.
I believe that from time to time God would have us to remind ourselves of what our vision is for ourselves, for our families, for our loved ones, and also for the church. So beginning with Habakkuk 1:5, God says, "Behold you among the heathen and wonder marvelously, for I will work a work in your days which you will not believe, though it be told you. The just shall live by faith." Now God has told us in Habakkuk that we should write the vision, that we should make it plain, and that we should keep it before us so that we can run with it. Why do you suppose that is? Because I don't know about you, but I know about myself. So many times, if I don't write things down and I don't keep them before me, I forget. That's the way it is with the visions of God. We are to keep those visions before us, because those visions will come to pass as we continue to put them forth. The vision, God says, is for an appointed time. I don't know how many of you are continually confessing over this church that it is a supernatural, glorious church full of the glory of God, with God manifesting His presence on a continual basis, but that's what we should be confessing. That's a part of our vision. God says the vision is for an appointed time. But it shall not lie. If we wait for it, it will surely come. Our vision is coming. And I believe that this year is going to be a tremendous year of changes in the people in our congregation and those things that you have been standing for. As you continue to walk in love and put forth His word, you are going to see changes. You are going to see yourselves become stronger in Him. You are going to see things happen in your life that before would have put you under, but you are going to stand your ground and be brought to a completion in Him. This church is going to be a ministry of excellence. We are striving for excellence in every area. If we cannot do things in the excellence of God, they will not be done. I don't care if it's a fellowship dinner. I don't care if it's a Sunday school teaching. I don't care if it's a prayer meeting. Whatever we do is going to be done in the spirit of excellence, with the ministry of excellence being brought forth. We will not have what we do not believe for. You will not have what you do not believe for. You will not walk the walk of love unless you believe that that is God's plan for you. Unless you make it a point to walk in that love walk, you will be defeated every time. You cannot walk the love walk today and walk out of it tomorrow. You cannot walk it in church and step out of it when you go home in the afternoon. The love walk is a walk that's all-consuming, just like the faith walk. You cannot speak words of faith today and step out of faith tomorrow. Because with anything of God, you must follow through according to His word. If you do not follow through according to His word, you will not be victorious and you will not share in His excellence. We expect to grow. Increase is God's will. We have planted seed. Those of us in the ministry have planted seed for the growth of the church. We have planted seed for the growth of the Sunday school, for workers, and so forth. With they are coming in the eye of faith, we believe that we've received them. We must become a strong church. For yourself, you must become strong in the Lord. You cannot expect those around you to be strong in the Lord if they don't see you. Now, a lot of times when our loved ones are hurting, we weaken and we pity. And we come against them and we say, "You can't take that stand of faith. You know you're not strong enough to do that. How can you continue to do that?" We cannot afford those words. Those words are a compromise. We are not a church of compromise. We are not a church that's going to give in to the ways of the enemies. We are not a little group. You cannot get a vision of seeing ourselves as a small group. We are going to continue to grow, but at all costs. us, this must be a church of love. You must live it in your own lives first. We come together as a church once a week, twice a week, however many times God will have us come in 1995. But you must be walking the walk and talking the talk in your daily life. You cannot do it one way at home and expect it to come to pass another way. We must work together as a team. We are a team. God has given me the vision. I have given the vision to you. Now, we are not going to dwell as much this time on the vision of the church, but rather on you and I spiritually as a team and how it will affect us. We are going to flow in unity and harmony. It's a necessity. It's not a choice. It's a command. I may say things that you may not agree with. Others may say things that you may not agree with. You do not have to agree with everything to flow in unity and harmony. But you do not speak against it. You pray about it. We are not going to try to do our best. We are doing our best. And we are going to do our best. It's not, Lord, I'm going to try to please you. It's, Lord, I am pleasing unto you in everything I do and everything I say. You as a church, you as an individual must be willing to make changes. If God shows you something that needs changing in your life, in your conversation, in your actions, in whatever it may be, you must repent of the wrong and you must be willing to make the change. Now, there will be changes made from time to time in the church and from the pulpit which you may not think are God. Let me assure you, you must trust me as the leader of the flock. God has appointed me as the shepherd of this flock. Now, a leader is a leader of leaders. A shepherd is the shepherd of the flock which are going to become leaders in God's time. But you cannot take people who are not walking with God and expect them to be and move into leadership positions. As the church grows, there will be more leadership positions opening up, and I encourage you, as I have done before, to seek God for what he would have you to be. You are not a church potato. You are not to sit there and absorb until you are cooked to mush. You are to use what you learn. You are to speak forth the words of God that you hear, and you are to move in the love, the unity, and the harmony. No one is above changes in the church. No one, from any position. When we have a custodian, the custodian will not be above changes. The prayer warriors are not above changes. The praise and worship team is not above changes. The ushers, the Sunday school teachers, the pastor are not above changes. We must know that. Changes come, but we adjust, and we know that changes are for our betterment, and so we accept them from the Lord. You must be committed to grow. You must be committed in your own lives to grow. And if you are not committed to grow in the Word of God, you're not going to grow. You just can't do your own ho-hum thing. You must make a commitment to God. Lord, I desire to please you in everything I do and everything. I make a commitment in everything I say, Lord, to be pleasing unto you. Holy Spirit, I give you full permission to show me when I say the wrong thing, to close my mouth if necessary, and get me in line with what the Word of God says. The potential for us to win people to the Lord is limitless, unless we limit ourselves. You are not going to win people to the Lord by moving in love one day and moving out of love the next day, by walking in faith one day and walking out of faith the next day. Understand me. There is nothing wrong with calling someone and asking for agreement with the Word. I am not asking you, and neither does God, ask you to lie. God is not a liar. There have been people that have said to me, well, what do I say then when people call me and I am not feeling good? Do I lie and say I'm fine? No, you do not. You say what the Word says. How are you today? According to the Word, I'm healed. What are you doing? You're telling the person that you're talking to that all is not well with you, but you are taking a stand in faith that it is well with you. You're not moved by what you feel. You are also showing the enemy that you are standing on the Word of God, that you are not going to back down to your own words of, man, I feel awful. Now, there are days when we do all feel terrible, let me tell you. We all have those. Nobody's above that. But our victory lies in what the Word of God says. According to the Word of God, I'm healed. I'm free. I'm delivered. I'm set free. If you need agreement, then that's what you say. I need you to agree that according to the Word, I'm healed. But you never down anybody else for their stand in faith. You encourage them in the Lord. How can you take that stand? Because I'm trusting in God, that's how I can take it. You must do the same. We must all do the same. You see, this isn't an up and down yo-yo type walk. As I said to you last week in Alan's teaching on glory, we are going to see the glory of God shine forth in this church. It's no coincidence that we have that banner put up there. The Lord showed me that this morning. That glory, one of these days, you are going to see that sign, that banner illuminating your spirit. It's going to just magnify itself until it mushrooms and it grows so greatly that the whole place is going to be radiating with the light and the glory of God. We cannot wait. We must get ourselves ready. And you must sacrifice if necessary. Sacrifice your time. Sacrifice your words. Sacrifice what you want for what God wants. We need to keep a victory mentality. You are not the defeated. You are not the sick. You are not the poor. You are the victorious in Christ Jesus. There is no defeat in Him. We are geographically going to be where God would have us to be. Right now we are here. God willing, we will remain here. However, if it means anybody going another 15 or 20 minutes or miles, so be it. The glory of God and the souls to come in are worth any price. We are going to see a change not only in our church, but we are going to see changes in churches all around. Some are going to go under. Some are going to grow by leaps and bounds. But the glory of God is going to be seen by those desiring to be a glorious church. We are a church of the last days. That's why God has raised us up. God has been training you, whether you realize it or not. You have been being trained to put forth His Word, to walk in love, to walk in faith. We are a church that is committed to grow. You are committed to grow spiritually. We as a church are committed not only to grow individually, not only to grow people-wise, but individually you are to grow spiritually and mentally and physically and materially and financially in all those areas. For what reason? To bring God glory. Hallelujah. You are only limited when you limit yourself. Now, how do you limit yourself? By a narrowness of vision. I can't do this. I can't make it. God doesn't move for me. I'm not good enough. I'm just a sinner. You were all those things. But now, you are more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. Do not narrow your vision. If you have a problem in your physical body right now, expand your vision. Expand it to see the glory of God coming upon you. Expand it to see yourself out of that malady, out of the affliction, out of the situation, out of the problem. If you're having a problem financially, expand your vision. Don't keep that tunnel vision. Tunnel vision keeps us zeroed in on the suffering. We're above it. Get yourself above it. Expand your vision to get up above it and look down on it. You know what eagles do? Eagles find themselves, they're in a high place anyway, but every so often in an eagle's life, it will go way, way, way up high. The eagle will be by itself and dwell by itself. It will lose all of its feathers. And then it will begin to pound its beak on a rock until it loses its beak completely and a new beak comes. As the new beak comes and the new feathers come, the eagle has a renewed strength. You remember that scripture in Isaiah? Those that wait upon the Lord, the eagle waits. He waits in the cleft of the rock. He waits above the storm. He rises up above it and looks down on it. And he grows strong with his new feathers and his new beak. And then he comes down right through the storm again and conquers it. We are like eagles. We don't molt our feathers. We don't pound our heads until we get a new head. But we grow strong in the Lord as we wait upon him. We enlarge our vision. We have to be committed to grow. We have to be committed to keep the vision. Ask God to give you a vision for yourself, for your family, for your church. You will find that they will all fit together to bring God the glory that he so desires. How can you limit yourself? By disharmony. Saying one thing one day, being up one day, show your children you're walking in love one day, and the next day biting their heads off. Being up one day and the next day having the spirit of heaviness come upon you, the spirit of defeat, the spirit of depression. Oh, I can't do it, I can't do it. That's going to limit your vision. It's going to keep it from ever coming to pass. How else can you limit your vision? By strife. You have got to realize that strife is deadly. Strife is deadly in a husband and wife. Strife is deadly in a mother or a father and their children. Strife is deadly in a family of brothers and sisters. Strife is deadly in a church. And strife is one thing that the enemy uses to move against us. It is not strife when you disagree. It's the way you disagree with something that causes the strife. It's anger. It's contention. It's a bitterness. It's a fighting that goes on among us. Another thing that will limit our vision is if we get out of love. You cannot afford to break the commandment of love. Remember in the New Testament, the greatest commandment that Jesus Christ gives is a new one, but not a new one. Remember when he says to the disciples, a new commandment I give you, but not a new one? That's the commandment to love. If you break the commandment of love, you might as well pack it in as far as keeping all the others, because you will be in strife. You will narrow your vision. Now, from time to time, you may find that you want to say something. Learn to keep your mouth closed. If you keep your mouth closed, you'll cause no strife. Strife has to be done by words. Get your attitude in line with love. Get your attitude in line with Jesus. There were many things that Jesus saw as he walked, but he never lost the vision. Never lost it. He knew why he came. He said what he meant, and he meant what he said. He ran into people head on, day after day after day. So did Paul. He met people every day that were coming against him and coming against the church and coming against the work of Christ. Don't you know that as we get closer to the end time, that the enemy is going to have you try to have you fall through strife, through stepping out of love, through limiting your vision, through doing anything he can to make you fail and fall and back off your faith? How committed are you to God? How committed are you? Well, I come to church. I may miss a day now and then, but yeah, I would say I'm pretty committed. Are you really? Are you committed? So that if God would have you, could get up in the wee hours of the morning if God would have us go on a prayer cycle, a 24-hour-a-day prayer cycle, could you take an hour or an hour and a half of interceding for those in the church or for the church itself? Oh, well, I'm not that committed. Are you committed to God that if God says, I want you to scrub the floors of the church, that you would be willing to do that? Or are you above it? Are you committed to being a worker in the church or to just being a sitter and an absorber? Churches today are full of those who sit and absorb, but who do nothing with what they have. You know, you can take a mop, and you can use that mop, and it can become so wet that when you look back, you're leaving more water than you're mopping. Are you that kind of a person? Or are you willing to let yourselves be used as God would have you to be used in whatever capacity? Lord, here am I, use me. I can never have too much of you. Are you prepared for the growth? Because if we're not prepared for the growth in this church, it will not come. If you're not prepared for the growth in yourself, in your loved ones, it will not come. In your children, as your children grow, are you prepared for the growth that even if they surpass you, you are not going to be jealous, you are going to be willing to let them go? You've got to realize that. We are committed to do things God's way. If a mate grows past another mate, praise God for that. Then go back and help them, lift them up. None of us are way ahead here, looking way back and saying, oh me, oh my, you're never going to catch up. We have got to go back and help the others by not losing our stand or our faith. We are to walk in the light of the Lord. We've got to be prepared before these things come, or they don't come. You've got to be prepared for glory. You've got to be looking for it. You've got to be wanting it. You've got to have your vision set on it, or it's never going to come. I'm speaking about your individual things that you're believing for, the things that we're believing for collectively, and the things that the church is believing for. You see, all are hooked together. If you don't have the vision for your own self and your own family, you're not going to go anywhere else with vision. One person will get a vision. Each one of you in this church should have a vision of what God has for you. Now, if you haven't gotten that vision yet, then I would suggest that what you do is seek God for it. Lord, what would you have me to do? Do you want me to be an usher? Do you want me to be the parking lot attendant? Well, we don't have that many cars to park. We are going to expand your vision. That's what I'm saying to you. Don't ask me to be a Sunday school teacher. I raised my own. Let me tell you something. I was a Sunday school teacher, and I've been a teacher for 50 years. Yes, sir. You continue to grow. You continue to use what you have. I started teaching Sunday school when I was 10 years old as a Sunday school helper. And I worked with little kids from 2 to kindergarten. I had them myself for years. And I worked with Bible school, vacation Bible school. Whatever I could do to find to do, I would do it. That's the mode we have to be in. Has God used you in a ministry before? Begin to expand your vision for that ministry to come into effect again as the church grows. Our goal has got to be to follow the pattern of our Lord Jesus Christ. Everywhere he went, he walked in love. He didn't put up with the things of the enemy. He never backed down. He never turned and ran. He stood his own. He walked in love. He walked in faith. He walked in obedience. He walked in love. And so must we, because we are going to be the kind of a church that the early church was in the book of Acts. On fire for God above all else. A pastor has to lead, has to guide, has to go after those that are lost. And sometimes a pastor has to weed out. Corrections. There There are many things that a pastor has to do as the shepherd of the sheep. And God's given me a message on the shepherd and the sheep. And we're going to be covering that in the next few weeks. The sheep's part and the shepherd's part. We're going to be covering that because I think it's necessary. But it's my job as the pastor to have you share the vision. I'm to share the vision with you. Then you are to catch that vision and find your niche in it, so that we are all working together as a body. We as a church are accountable to God. You're accountable to God as an individual. We as a church are accountable to God. If you're not showing love to your neighbors, if you're not sharing your faith with your neighbors, how are they ever going to know about the love of God? How are they ever going to want to come where you are? I appreciate Sunny. I have to tell you that, because Sunny is on fire. She is. She's telling everybody about her church, how there's so much love here, how we pray for her, how we help her, how we love her. That's important to people. We have got to have that be our daily mode of life. Not reaching out in love one day and yanking it back the next. It's a continual progression. Are your neighbors, are your friends seeing that and hearing that from you? You're responsible to God. We're responsible to bring in the lost. We're responsible to teach and to train and to love them and to help them. Now, we have a mix of people. We will always have a mix of people in this church. We have babies. We will have unsaved. We will have many more babies. We will have many more immature people. We will always have people that are growing, and we will always have those that are mature. We will have to regress from time to time. We will have to go back to bring those along and help feed them. We will have to go back and help bring them up to our place. No one in this church is in their own little niche looking down and saying, "Oh, you poor thing. When you've been in this as long as I have, you'll understand the ways of God." This is not going to be in this church. We are all in a place where we are never too high to lift someone up, where we are never too far to go back and retrace our steps. You may hear teachings one time, two times, three times, five times. You may sit there and think, "Oh boy, here we go again. I've heard that." Let me tell you something. There are some tapes that I have listened to at least 150 times, and I kid you not, and I can still grow from them. You cannot hear a message one time and receive it. You've got to listen and listen and listen and listen. And each time, God will reveal to you something else that you will grow from. Changes will come. Some of you may not like them, but I encourage you to pray through them, to ask God about them, and you will find that they are necessary. I have the vision, and I'm giving it to you. Where there is any need, whether people are in this church or not, we will do our utmost to fulfill it. Starting with Mr. Lucas, starting with those people that we helped at Christmas time. This isn't just a one-shot deal. See you, Mac. The things that we do for God are to be done on a continual basis. I'm the overseer. You have to trust that I get the information that I need from God. But we are all the doers. As I've had the vision, I've given it to you. How do you continue to grow in the vision? First of all, let me tell you, this is a faith ministry. Everything we do, everything we get will be by faith. As a church, you as a family, as a church family, you as individuals in the church family, what you get, you are going to get by faith. Whether it's a job, whether it's a car, whether it's a house, whether it's a church, Whether it's a ministry, you are going to have to get it by faith, because we are a faith ministry. We are a word ministry. We are a ministry of excellence in every area and in everything we do. What part do you play? You have to strive for excellence yourself. Don't be a slob. Don't be a slob. Be God's best. Be God's best. Make up your mind every day when you get up that you are going to live that day for God. God saw something in Abraham. God sees something in you. If God wants to set you aside for a while, so be it. Go aside with Him. Because when you go aside and spend that time with God, you will find that's when you grow. That's when He can tell you things. That's when He can minister to you. So many times we get into the mode of, well, I really don't have time to pray today, Lord. Just bless my day. And away we go. And He does what He can, which isn't very much as far as we're concerned. But we need to spend time with God. This year is going to be a year of the unexpected. Some things are going to come to pass that we have not expected. But some things are going to come to pass that we have been expecting for a long time. So be expecting. If you're not expecting, you don't have the vision and that air of excitement and that air of expectancy. I don't want you to ever wake up in the morning on a Sunday or whenever we have church and say, oh, well, we better get dressed. I want you to be as excited as I am about coming to church. Because you don't come to meet me. You don't come to meet each other. You come to meet the Lord God Almighty and Jesus Christ Himself. And if you go out of this church or any place that you go without having met Jesus, you are the loser. Because He says where two or more are gathered, He's in the midst. He's there. But sometimes we can't see Him because of our own shortcomings and because of our own failures and our own self-pity. We walk by faith in the Word. I don't know how many of you know what our logo is. Turn with me to Romans 4. You want to know what our logo is? I suggest that you let it be your own logo. Romans 4, verses 20 and 21. We are strong in faith, giving glory to God, fully persuaded that what He has promised, He will do. That's the motto of our church. Strong in faith, giving glory to God. Now we are not only giving glory to God, but we are going to be the vessels through whom His glory is seen. So we are strong in faith, giving glory to God, fully persuaded. You know what that means? Fully persuaded means that you know that you know that you know that you know. As sure as you turn on a light switch, you know there's going to be current in that light and you're going to have a light. As sure as you are that you turn on a water faucet, you know you're going to get water in the natural. That's how persuaded you are going to be to the things in the spirit realm, because you believe that you've received them, that you have already received them in the spirit realm. We are striving to excel, and we are going to have excellence of ministry in every area. Jesus' ministry was a ministry of excellence. The disciples' ministry was a ministry of excellence when they began. Their churches were on fire for God. Miracles happened on a daily basis. There was nothing that they did that was not glorious. And that's the way it's going to be in your life, in my life, in our lives, and in the church. Our every need is met, because that's what the Word says. We are tithers. We are givers. We give with joy. By the way, if you are not a tither, you cannot expect the blessings of God. I just want to tell you that. That's not mine, my words. That's God's words. He's the one that rebukes the devourer for your sake. You can't afford to tithe? Don't tell me that. You can't afford not to tithe. Because if you don't tithe, you tie God's hands. You don't give until you tithe. Enough said for now. We watch what we say. We guard our actions. We keep our thoughts on the Word. We are obedient to the Word. We constantly walk in love. We do not allow strife. We put a demand on ourselves for excellence. You may demand, if you have children in school, you demand they do their best. If they're capable of C work, that's what you demand. You put a demand on yourself in the workforce. Your boss demands 8 hours, that's what you give him. You put a demand on yourself. I don't feel like working 8 hours today. It doesn't matter how you feel. You put a demand on yourself because that's excellence of ministry. You put a demand on yourself to keep your house clean. You put a demand on yourself to get the right amount of rest. You put a demand on yourself to eat the right kind of foods and the right amount. You put a demand on yourself to correct your children in love. You put a demand on yourself to discipline your body. You put a demand on yourself to discipline your spirit. You put a demand on yourself to discipline your mind. Because all those things bring excellence. And excellence is what we are striving for. We are consistent in walking in the Word of God. We are not judging or condemning others. And we do not judge or condemn ourselves. When I say that, I mean it this way. It is good to judge yourself of the things you're doing wrong. When you judge yourself a failure, that's wrong. You are not a failure. You must judge yourself according to the Word. We are honest with ourselves. You have to be honest with yourselves, church. If you're not honest with yourself, you're going to miss the whole thing. When you see that you are wrong, be honest enough to admit, I was wrong. Don't try to cover, oh, well, I didn't understand. You were wrong. Wrong is wrong. That's like all means all, and that's all means. Wrong is wrong. Don't pass it off on someone else. Well, Adam, you know, Adam, well, it's the woman you gave me. First of all, you gave me the woman, so actually, God, it's your fault because you gave me the woman. Husbands, you cannot say it's the wife you gave me. Wives, you cannot say it's the husband you gave me. Because you can't use that to your own hurt. If you make a mistake, be honest enough, first of all, to admit it to yourself. Then be honest enough to admit it to your kids or to whomever the problem or the situation is with. Children grow from what they learn. If they grow from parents who never make a mistake and they see them as glaring as a nick in a table or a broken glass, don't tell your kids, do what I do or do what I say. Say, do what I do what I say, because I'll do it. You follow me as I follow Christ. That's excellence of ministry. In your own spirit, in your own bodies, in your own homes, in your own families, and in the church. Admit to the wrongs. Repent of them. Make the adjustments and the corrections that are necessary. I have to tell you, there is no perfect marriage. There is no perfect family. There is no perfect church. It's a continual adjustment and repairing as we mature in Christ Jesus. In your excellence of ministry and in the excellence of allowing God to perfect your vision, you cannot allow touchy feelings. Cannot allow yourself to be offended. Because it tells us in 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 to 8, if you are easily offended, you are not walking in love. People may say things in the wrong tone of voice. People may say things that offend you, that totally come against your grain. Whether they mean it or not isn't the issue. You cannot let it offend you. You must set it aside and toss it off. Because if you let it offend you, it will create a niche. It will create a nick for the enemy to keep feeding and working at and working at until it grows. You cannot allow strife. You cannot allow self-pity. Oh, poor me. When is this ever going to change? How long am I going to have to keep doing this? That's not the issue. And the more you complain, the longer you're going to be in it. So I'm going to tell you something that will save you a lot of heartache. Lord, here I am. I'll stay in this position as long as you want me to. I'll do what you want me to do as long as you want me to. And it won't be very long. But it's when you begin to grumble and complain, it's when you begin to have those touchy feelings, the feelings of heaviness, the feelings of nobody loves me, that you are fallen out. We are not a ministry or a church of competition. We are not in the business of competing with another church. You are not in the business of competing with another individual in the Lord. God made each of us different. God has different ways and different things for each one of us. You are an entity unto yourself. God has made you exactly the way He would have you to be. Now, the things in your life that are not good, God did not make. That's yourself allowing those things to come in. But as you lay aside self, and as you strive to please God, you will see that you're not competing with anyone. We don't have to compete with Jesus. We just have to allow Him to grow in us. We don't have to compete with each other. We're not in a race to see who steps on who to get to the top. We are all as Jesus was in God's eyes. We are all as Jesus is because we are joint heirs with Jesus. And that's how God sees us. Now, when you see yourself another way, that's yourself showing true, and you must begin to lay aside those things of self. 1995 is a year of excellence, of bringing yourself into the excellence of God. Unforgiveness, that's a compromise you cannot afford. Unbelief, another compromise you cannot afford. Debt, another compromise you cannot afford. I'm telling you, from this pulpit, we have got to get out of debt, totally and completely. If you do not have the money, do not buy. I believe that God has been telling us that now for 2 years. And one of these days, the axe is going to fall. Get out of debt now, while you can. Ask God to help you. He will do it supernaturally. But make a decision. And let it be a quality decision that you are going to owe no man anything but love. Because those to whom you owe have authority over you. And as we get closer to the end time, there can be nobody have authority over you but God Himself. Now God is telling us this, and He has been telling us this for a reason. We've got to wake up. The time is this much shorter than it was 2, 3, 4 years ago. There is not that much time left. Get it out. Get anything that isn't godly, that isn't good, that isn't perfect, get it out of your life. We as individuals, families, and this church must set our faith individually and collectively for excellence of life, excellence of ministry, and excellence of the church. I'd like you to turn with me to Isaiah 35. That's where we'll close. Isaiah 35 talks about a vision of the excellence of ministry, I believe. Excellence of ministry as individuals and as a church. This is what it says. It's only 10 verses long. The wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it, the excellency of Carmel and Sharon, They shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God. As we receive the excellency of God, as we grow into excellence individually, as well as families, as well as a church, we will see the dry wilderness places in our lives blossom abundantly. We will see the desert, which is again a dry place, rejoice with joy and singing. What is that? The dry places in your spirit, the dry places that you go into through your suffering, will now begin to blossom. They will begin to see victory. They will begin to grow. And as they do, they shall see, meaning you and your family and the church, we shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God. Our God is excellence to the max. He does nothing that is schlock. He does nothing second-handed. He does nothing but only the best. What happens when we get into this mode of excellency? This is what happens. We strengthen the weak hands. We confirm the feeble knees. We help those that need help. We are strengthened ourselves. Those that are having problems in their hands, those that are having problems with your knees, you can take this scripture to also mean that God is strengthening your hands and He is confirming, He is changing, He is conforming to your image those things. We can take these things in the natural as well as a spiritual plane. We will say to them that are of a fearful heart, those that are afraid, those that walk not in faith, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God comes with vengeance. Even God comes with a recompense. He comes and saves you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened. How many of you have a vision of blind eyes being opened in this church? You better get it. Of the ears of the deaf being unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as a hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall the waters break out, and streams in the desert. And what happens in a wilderness when waters come forth? What happens in a desert when water springs forth? It's not dry anymore, is it? It's fruitful. It's bringing forth fruit. That's what we're to see. And the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land shall become springs of water. In the habitation of dragons where each lay shall be grass with reeds and rushes. Who's the dragon of all dragons? Satan himself. But instead of that habitation will be grass, reeds, and rushes, and they only grow where there's water, where there's feeding. And a highway shall be there, and a way that shall be called the way of holiness. The church that excels in God is a church that is a church of holiness. Holiness is not the way we act. Holiness comes from within. And without holiness, no man shall see God. The unclean shall pass over it, but it shall be for those wayfaring men. They'll want to come here because they'll say, that church is a place where the glory of God is shown, and foolish they will be because they will miss the glory. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. It shall not be found. But the redeemed, who are the redeemed? We are the redeemed. As we excel in the glory of God, all these things are going to manifest. The blind are going to see. The deaf are going to hear. The lame are going to walk. Those that need healing are going to be healed. Those that need salvation are going to be saved. Those that need the baptism are going to be baptized. Those that need to grow in the Lord are going to grow. Those that are in a dry place in their life are going to be watered like a spring. And as that spring of life comes into them, it's going to flow forth like a river. That's power. And verse 10 says, and the ransomed of the Lord shall return. That means the redeemed. The redeemed of the Lord shall return. And come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. That's the vision of the church in a nutshell. Isaiah 35 should be the vision of yourselves and of your own ministries, because the church is made up of many individual ministries. We as individuals, families, ministries, and church are setting our vision to pray for excellence of health, of faith, of love, of finances, of our family, ministry, and church, to pray for the excellence of God to be in abundance in all those things. We renew our commitment to the Lord to not compromise or turn back, but to achieve excellence, our excellence in God, for in Him is everything we desire to be. Will you stand with me? Father, we come in the name of Jesus, and we thank you, Lord, that we repent of the times that we have stepped out of love. We repent, Lord, for the times that we have stepped away from the vision. We repent for the times that we have stepped into self-pity, that we have stepped into doubt and unbelief, that we have stepped into a place that's contrary to your word and what your vision and what you would have for us. We repent of any time that we have stepped into a place that has not allowed you to be excellent in our lives. And Father God, we hereby renew our commitment to you that as we go into and further into 1995, we commit ourselves individually for excellence. Excellence in the spirit realm. Excellence in our minds, in our thought realm. Excellence in our words and our actions. Excellence in our love walk and our faith walk. Excellence in the fruit of the Spirit showing forth abundantly. Excellence as we walk in your word, giving forth your word and showing the light and the life and the love of our Lord Jesus Christ in everything we do. Father God, this day we commit ourselves to being a church of excellence. We commit ourselves to being families of excellence. We commit ourselves to being individuals of excellence. We commit ourselves, Lord, to seek your excellence in everything we do, to excel, and to let your glory be shown through. For Father God, we desire to be used even as our Lord Jesus Christ for your excellence, for your honor, and for your glory. Oh, Father God, how we thank you for your glory. For your glory is your manifested presence. And how we rejoice as we this moment let our vision expand to see this as the supernatural, glorious church that you would have to be not only in your glory, but filled with your glory, manifesting all these things that we have read. Father, we are the redeemed, and we desire to be ministers of excellence so that we can have the excellence of our God showing forth in everything we do. We give you the praise, Lord. We give you the glory. And Holy Spirit, we give you permission to help mold and make us, to lead and guide us, to show us when we say the wrong thing, to help us, if necessary, to close our mouths so that we speak only what the Word of God says. Father God, above all, we desire to be vessels that your glory shines forth, that people can see it in abundance. As we go into our individual ways, our homes, our lives, jobs, neighborhoods, that people desire to have what we have. And so, Father God, they come into the place where your glory goes forth through them as well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.